less humble and human words I speak, the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when your word meets us across all our divisions. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I have to begin with a little confession. Don't you think we're all just a little more terrific than all other human beings? I mean, look at us. Pouring rain outside, you know, you could have turned over and slept in, but out you came through the rain and the wind to worship God. Don't you think we're just a little better than all the riffraff? All right, maybe you don't actually feel that way out loud. That seems to be what's conveyed in the words of the Pharisee today. We're told that Jesus especially addressed himself to those who felt that they were righteous in themselves. And he told this parable. The Pharisee quite often has been portrayed in artwork in the kind of caricature, and here's a fat fellow throwing ostentatiously his offering into the, they had a tube there which made quite a noise when you threw your gold pieces or your denarii or whatever you had with you into the offering trumpet. Here's another version, a more recent one by a fellow named Bryn Gillette. A little theological interpretation going on here. This Pharisee with his bright robes on the outside is really death on the inside. And that tax collector, if you look carefully, he actually had a halo. Even as his outward physical nature seemed to suggest someone who was in darkness. But you know, that is a problem if you want to understand what's going on in this parable, because of course those who first heard Jesus' words would have immediately assumed that the Pharisee was a very respectable man. Actually, the more this Pharisee said, the more admirable he would become in the eyes of those who were listening. Because not only was a Pharisee an admirable person, they were the good church-going lot in those days, who cared for their community, who did many good works, who studied the law. I like this image. It shows the Pharisee carrying a scroll of scripture where the tax collector is holding the very vessel in which he received the exploitative taxes from his fellow Israelites. But the prayer that the Pharisee prays would not be offensive to those who heard it. One scholar has said it would have been very much like our Lord's Prayer or any of the other prayers that we would tend to make. It was part of the morning ritual of a Jewish male rising in the morning, giving thanks to God, giving thanks for the crow who, or the rooster who knew how to crow at dawn. We'll give thanks for the sunrise. And go through a litany of thanksgiving, which is in some ways kind of a mindfulness prayer, becoming aware of all those things that one can be grateful for. And that prayer famously included, "Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who has not made me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman." Now, I don't want to take that out of context, and we cannot hold in contempt that Jewish prayer. Christians have nothing to be proud about in their long history of the oppression of women. In fact, some believe that this Jewish phrase was borrowed from the Greeks, and they attribute to Thales or to Plato this little gem, that I was born a human and not a beast, a man and not a woman, a Greek and not a barbarian. It was pretty common in those days, to be glad. Some think that Paul, and remember, Paul was a Pharisee, was speaking directly to this phrase when he said in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we finally get it right. But all the same, this Pharisee was a strong and upstanding citizen. The tax collector was despicable. He was politically a traitor and a collaborator. He was religiously unclean for doing the work of the Gentiles and for exploiting his fellow citizens. You know what tax collectors did? They plowed the people for everything they could get. This text does not raise up tax collectors, nor does it mean to oppress Pharisees. Something else is going on here. Something about prayer. We saw last week in the parable that was read, the parable of the persistent widow, who, even though the judge was unjust, because of her continual persistence, finally wore him down. And as Carrie mentioned last week, do you think we have to wear God down? There's something about prayer there. That you can trust that the saints will be vindicated, that the saints will be answered. Now, the same word is used at the end of this parable when it says, that man went to his home justified or vindicated. So there's something being said about prayer. Last week it was that God will answer the prayers of the saints. This week it says, but not everybody who thinks they're a saint is a saint. There's something more going on. The beautiful thing is that in this Acts in the temple, we have two people praying, but only one is in relationship. And prayer is an act of relationship. You have the Pharisee who says, basically, thank God I'm not like other people, and goes on to kind of define himself and everything that separates him from others. It is the tax collector who actually throws himself on God's grace and enters into genuine relationship with God. You see, when they're talking about vindication or right relationship or justification, they're talking about relationship. This doesn't make the tax collector right and holy. He's still a tax collector. But he puts him in right relationship with God, and in that relationship he has hope. He has an opportunity to grow and change. He has an opportunity to live because he's in relationship with God. None of us can live and grow if we're only in relationship with ourselves. None of us can live and grow if we're satisfied with ourselves. It's only when we come into relationship with others, and greatly and primarily and chiefly when we come into relationship with God, that we have the hope of a future, that we can grow and change. This parable does not elevate tax collectors any more than the parable of the Good Samaritan elevates Samaritans, or the parable of the unjust steward elevates dishonesty. This parable elevates relationship with God. An understanding as we come deeply into relationship that our lives and our world are changed. There are a lot of divisions in this world. We began by talking about Reformation Sunday, and sadly, the Reformation created deep divisions between Roman Catholics and Protestants, as the Great Schism before it created great divisions between the Roman Catholics and the Orthodox. We Christians have a habit of dividing from one another, which does not look like Jesus. It doesn't put us in relationship with Jesus Christ. What other divisions are in our world? Well, we had an election last week, and our map looks pretty divided. Hardly had the counting dried on the electoral paper, and they started talking about the Wexit, and separatism in Quebec was back in the news, and of course we have these great divides. But what are we as a nation? Are we not to seek each other and serve one another? Is that not what nation building is? I was in a pastoral visit this week, and someone who had had a brain tumor and had radiation, and their haircut was a little funky. And we started talking about men and women's haircuts. And the question was raised by the wife in the room, you know, why is it that women pay 3 times as much for a haircut than men? It's a good question. She did say, though, that, you know, for women, going to the hairdresser is really a treat. She asked, is it a treat for men? I can't speak for all the guys here, but her husband and I said no. You know, one thing I'll say, women come out of the hairdresser looking beautiful. Men, they come out of the barber waiting for 2 weeks until they can go out in public again. Maybe that's why it's more expensive. Nevertheless, there are sadly deep divisions between men and women. We're only, again, beginning to hear and reconcile and honor the place of women and the dignity of women in our world. What are the divisions you suffer from? What are the divisions that you perpetuate that allow you or rationalize your contempt of someone? These are the unholy divisions of our world. I like this rendition of the tax collector and the Pharisee. Usually the Pharisee is in the foreground and in the light, and the tax collector is hidden in the shadows. But in this version, the tax collector is the one you see at the center of the painting. If you can make him out in the back corner, there's the Pharisee in purple, top left, almost out of eyesight. I think this says something about what happens in Jesus Christ. It is that the marginalized and those who are held despicable are made visible. In our Bible study, we're talking about existence, and there are different ways of understanding coming into existence in Genesis 1. We today think of coming into existence as coming into material existence, our atoms coming out of nothing to make stuff. But in that time and place, existence had more of a functional understanding, that one came into existence when they had a role, when they had a part in the unfolding of God's creation. And so Jesus went around Galilee bringing women and Gentiles and lepers and tax collectors into existence, because he said, these too are children of God. And every time one recognizes a child of God, one has an opportunity now to enter into relationship. If we have divisions, they are not to separate us, but to give us an opportunity to grow, to love, to serve. The beautiful story in the Toronto Star yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, was about children reading to animals. It's a program by the Toronto Humane Society where they invite children to come in and read to the animals. It was a program to help children learn to read, especially the children who had trouble reading. And this child, Myra, said, you know, one of the wonderful things when I read to the dogs is that they don't judge. I don't read a word so well, they don't jump on me. But in the course of the program, the Humane Society people found out something kind of wonderful. The animals listened. And the animals became better adoptees. They became used to children. They became socialized. They too came into a relationship which helped them to grow. Myra sits down to read, and the dog, whose name is Minnie, kind of lies down and then reaches out to be as close to her as she can. That's what happens when we start seeing each other. That's what happens when we throw ourselves, all of us, upon God's mercy, when all of us receive that Holy Spirit who is poured out upon all flesh, that we might know we belong to one another even as we belong to God. As it says in O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, that all our sad divisions peace. There was a group of rabbis who were arguing about when the Sabbath day began. Some said, as according to the Torah, that the Sabbath day begins at dusk of the day before, and others said, no, that's the Sabbath evening. The Sabbath day begins at dawn the next day. And they argued and argued and could not settle it until they finally went to a wise old rabbi. And they asked him, Rabbi, when is it you say that the Sabbath day begins? And he said, the Sabbath day begins when it is light enough to see in the face of the other your neighbor. Gracious God, help us to pray that we pray to you, and that we throw ourselves on your love, and in that throwing we discover the love you have for all creation. Help us to overcome our divisions, In Jesus' name, amen.